Okay. It's on? Oh, it is on. Okay. Any comments? If you feel that I'm talking too much, I won't talk. Okay, so let's continue with that. So we agreed that baptism is necessary, and of course we have, Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. I mean, this is black and white, right? And also Peter, he said, repent and let every one of you be baptized. So baptism is central, is pivotal. It's one necessary prerequisite. Now, full adherence to the faith is keeping Christ's commandments, putting it simply, right? Keeping Christ's commandments. He said, if you love me, do what I say. It's very simple, right? Okay. Next. Now, again, about giving us power. Are we making this up, or does the Bible really tell us that the Holy Spirit does give us power? Yes, the Bible says so. Here, listen to what Micah said, for example. I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. Again, in Luke, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. And then later in Acts, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So when we say power of the Holy Spirit or empowered by the Holy Spirit, we're not making this up. It's not an extrapolation of something. It is exactly what the Bible is telling us. Okay. And then Christ, of course, says, behold, I give you, we say that every day in the canonical hours, right? Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Try to think of this. Think of this last bit for a minute. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Imagine if you told your friend, let's say, that you will take care of a problem. And you told your friend, trust me, I will do it. Don't worry about it. I will do everything. And most likely he will trust you or she will trust you, right? This is one friend to another, one human being to another, simply asking for trust. Imagine that God, you know, the Creator, Christ, is promising nothing shall by any means hurt you, right? This should be enough for me to motivate me to do anything within the commandments of Christ. So I must walk blindly. And if someone says, why are you walking blindly, don't you think? I say, I don't need to think. Because he told me that nothing will by any means hurt me. That's enough for me, right? This authority is given us through the Holy Spirit, right? Any comments, questions, or anything? I get disturbed when there is nobody. No. Now, the Holy Spirit, we said that the Holy Spirit gives us all these attributes. It's up to us to draw on them, right? To live, as we said, the breath of life in us is through the Holy Spirit. That's the first thing, the breath of life. He empowers us to be Christ-like, to qualify as the children of God, to discern God's truth, to acquire his qualities, to endure trials, and to trample on the forces of evil. And we will go through quickly through each of those. Again, just to let you know, it's each one of those is backed by verses in the Bible. It's not inference or extrapolation of anything. Okay. The first one. The Holy Spirit gives us the breath of life, right? And God formed man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. So that's the first thing I get. My breath, the breath of life in me. Okay. He empowers us to be Christ-like. We have received the Spirit who is from God. We have the mind of Christ. In other words, we are becoming Christ-like through receipt of the Holy Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So he empowers us to be children of God. He empowers us to discern God's truth. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you unto all truth. Right? Any questions so far? Again, let's be clear. Whenever we believe firmly in something, we must make sure it is anchored in a biblical quote, in a biblical passage. We're not extrapolating this. So this is all true, the true word of God. Okay, next one. The Holy Spirit empowers us to acquire his qualities. And this is what St. Paul summarized. The qualities of the Spirit are what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and so on. He empowers us to endure trials. Stir up the gift of God which is in you. And that is the verse, remember at the beginning we said, let us try to memorize this, right? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and power and given us this a spirit, power, love, and a sound mind. Right. Okay. Next. And of course, ultimately, the ultimate thing is what Christ promised. Before, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Okay. Yeah, this is, remember we said that the Lord or God or the Spirit will not force himself on us, right? We have to invite him. So it is always a choice. Whatever I do, whatever I think, it is a conscious choice that I make. I'm not forced down any path. So it's by the same token, of course, as we said, Satan will not force himself on us either. Okay. Now, there's an interesting one here. How can we draw on this empowerment? We draw on this empowerment, if you look at the bottom here, in faith. It is our faith that makes us draw on this empowerment, that makes us believe that we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit who has immense power available to us. Now, look at this first verse. And I want to ask you, think what is very striking about it. In Jonah, he said, I cried out to the Lord and he answered me. What is striking about this? I cried unto the Lord and he answered me. Do you remember the circumstances when Jonah prayed like that? What were the circumstances? Jonah was in the belly of the great fish, as the Bible says, right? So he was in the belly of the great fish. And he said, I cried out to the Lord and he answered me. What strikes you in that? Is there anything that's amazing? Or it's okay, he was praying. Yeah, everybody can pray. Sorry?
He cried loud.
He cried loud, okay. What else? Right. No, this is all exactly what I'm looking for. The point I wanted to emphasize is Jonah said, he answered me. God had not answered him yet. Right? When Jonah said, he answered me, he was still in the belly of the fish. So this shows a significant amount of faith. Like I'm drowning, and I'm saying I cried unto the Lord, and He answered me, and I'm still drowning. But faith says to me that if I cry unto the Lord, no matter from where or from what depth, He will answer. I only need to have faith. I just need to have faith. And that's the bit here. And He answered me. He said that when He was still in the belly of the fish, right? Okay. And again, the mother of Christ, when they were in the wedding of Cana of Galilee, sorry. The mother of Christ, when she said they have no wine, you remember the wedding of Cana of Galilee. Again, that's an indication of faith. You know, he was sitting beside her. She just said, she didn't say please or no, no, she said they have no wine. And she knew that he will do whatever it takes to rectify that. And James goes one step further. He said, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and it will be given him, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting. Right? That is the key word. That is the key word. Okay. There's another, skip over here. Yeah, there's another example here in David. Remember the story of David and Goliath, right? Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. Again, this is sort of analogous to the case of Jonah, right? Here, we're talking about David. David was most likely uneducated, probably illiterate. He was minding his father's sheep. He was very young. No one preached to him faith or anything like that. And he was standing in front of this Goliath who was armed to the teeth, right? And all he told him is, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. But even more so, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. Right? This, again, is significant faith because David hadn't killed him yet. Hi. David hadn't done anything yet, right? He was standing here, Goliath was standing there, and David told him, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. That's it. Not the Lord, not I hope so, or maybe, or I suggest. No, no, no. He said, he will deliver you today. So this is faith. This is extreme faith. And Paul summed it up saying, taking the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, right? To the Ephesians. Okay. So you can say, I summed it up as I call it a roadmap. What do we do? Okay, we leave here now, everybody goes, you know, to do whatever you have to do, but you're trying to do something about this, right? Trying to draw on the power of the Holy Spirit. So there are three things that we need to do. And I would say most likely in this order, right? The first thing that is most repeated, especially in St. Paul's epistles, is be thankful, give thanks at all times, right? Thankfulness. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ in you. Give thanks always. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the first thing. And I think we probably, most of us know Abuna Dawood Lamai, right? He has actually more than one sermon about giving thanks, being thankful. And one of the things he argues, he said, thankfulness by its own can lead you to eternal life. Just being thankful. Be thankful in everything. Be content. Be thankful. The next thing that many of us actually forget or ignore is solitude. It is very important for us to spend some time every day by ourselves, quietly, meditating, thinking, reading, conversing with Christ. And we have biblical verses to support that. I'm not making it up. Stand still and consider the wondrous words of God. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. So let us try to do that. Let us try every day to take a while in solitude to meditate and think and be quiet. And the last thing is a life of holiness. That is prayer, supplication, submission to God, repentance, and it has to be sincere, not denial. Not, I didn't do that. Right? Not, I did not do that. Not quibble. Let us not quibble or argue about it. Love and forgiveness, partaking of sacraments, reading the Word of God, and doing good. Right? That is the road map for us. That is the road map for us. In the end, we can be assured that we would be drawing on the power of the Holy Spirit to lead a Spirit-filled life. Okay. These are the attributes of a Spirit-filled life that St. Paul laid down to the Galatians. You might think that it's a long list, right? But think of only one of those. Right? Pick one. Pick anyone. Pick kindness. It is impossible for me to be kind and at the same time be a liar and a hateful person, a grouchy guy, cruel. It won't work. If I am kind, I will implicitly have most of that. Right? If I focus on one. Be love. If I am a loving person, how can I be a loving person and at the same time bear grudges against you, be a hateful, grouchy guy all the time? It's impossible. It won't work. So he's sort of, St. Paul is factoring out all the attributes, but in fact, any one will encompass the rest, I dare say. We can discuss that if you wish. Sorry, have you answered?
Yeah, just a
what I find very interesting, and I'll ask for your autograph after the meeting. What is very interesting is that I think this is in the next slide or the one after that. So that it's, I fully agree, of course. Yes, it is not something that I make up. It is as a result of my inviting the Spirit. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Okay, we can skip this. We can be sort of attacked by this, if you will, by non-believers or by people who are not in strict adherence to the faith. They'll tell me, oh, this stuff about the Holy Spirit and love, this is wimpy stuff. I mean, what are you talking about? If I start talking love to my colleagues in the office, they'll have me for dinner. It won't work. And I would say, I'm sorry, but there are two important things, or three important things, which we'll get into now. First of all, the Holy Spirit has never produced a wimp. There is no, like, if you look throughout the history of Christianity, there is never a recorded or even unrecorded case of a wimp who was ruled by a Holy Spirit. That has never happened. So that is not true. In fact, the opposite is true. Because when we remember the verse we memorized that Paul wrote to Timothy, we do not have the spirit of fear, but of power and love, not of being wimpy, right? So it's the Spirit gives us power, not weakness. I put a table here just to compare the attributes of a spirit-filled life versus the opposite. So look at the column on the left and the column on the right. And you just ask yourself, would I rather be a loving person or a hateful person? A joyful person or a depressive person? And so on, patient or impatient. This is the result of, you know, the column on the right-hand side is the result of quenching the Holy Spirit, right? Grieving the Holy Spirit, I become like that. So you would ask yourself, which would you prefer? Would the characteristics in the right-hand column increase or decrease our productivity? If I go through life being grouchy and hateful and aggressive, would this make me a more productive, more loving person? You be the judge. And then here, this is the part that Ehab was saying. The virtues that Paul listed are not goals for us to pursue. We're not pursuing these goals. The reason is that we humans cannot produce the Spirit's fruit. The Spirit is the producer. And we are at the receiving end, if you will. I'm not struggling to create love within me. I'm not struggling to create happiness or joy. These are the fruits of the Spirit, the result of my not quenching the Spirit. You see, so that's important. Now, the last thing is, I put just a series of questions you can ask yourself as a measure or a yardstick. Is what I am thinking of or doing, is it true? Is it honorable? Can I discuss this unashamedly with a friend? You ask, whatever I endeavor to do, whatever I'm thinking of doing or reading or a place of going, I ask myself, can I discuss this unashamedly with a friend? Can I discuss it with my son? Do I have a hunger to know God more? Do I have the desire to know the truth of the word? Is my awareness of my sinfulness increasing? And that's important. That's something Abuna mentioned in the sermon today. I have to be honest with myself. Am I aware of my sinfulness, and am I sincerely seeking repentance and changing direction? Or am I saying it's okay? Do I experience joy in the midst of intense spiritual battles? And so on. You can read this list. These are questions for you, or for me, for anyone, to see if indeed I am following the guidelines given in the Word of God. Okay, now to conclude this, remember Christ said, let your light so shine before men, right? How will my light shine before men? What kind of light? Where would this light come from? Me? No. Where? From the Spirit who indwells me. So it is only through inviting the Holy Spirit again to rule my heart, to rule my work, to rule my conduct, then His light will shine through me, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So again, to sum it up, we have to give thanks at all times, love and forgive unconditionally, pray and repent continually, adhere to the faith in all circumstances, and submit to God's will and leave all consequences to Him. Once we do that, we will really be on the way to become perfect servants and perfect believers. Okay, so with that, we say God bless and thank you for not falling asleep.
Thank you.
comment? Yes?
I just wanted to bring up the fact that the four people talk about it. You caught him.
Hang on.
No, I just wanted to bring up a bit. If you could just scroll down to the bit of the Holy Spirit where you're talking about the fruit. And I'm so happy that you are thankful to God that you brought it up. Because as you were discussing on the table of the Holy Spirit, you know the bit of the table? You know the you had a table? Yeah, when you came down, yeah, this that's it. I'm so happy that you brought that up, because as you were talking about that, you were already a step ahead as well, thanks to God, you know, and I give praise, because some of these characteristics, like being loving, peaceful, patient, you know, other faiths that don't have Christ pursue these. And when you talk about other people, about the fruits of the Holy Spirit, they might think that this is the Holy Spirit. But you're not saying, when you came on to say that this is not the Holy Spirit, these are just fruits. The Holy Spirit in itself is much greater than all of this. It just brought me back down thinking, oh, you know, that so when I am looking at this issue, I shouldn't just be looking to seek these, because this is just the fruit of something that you bear, rather than this is what I'm pursuing in order to get the Holy Spirit. No, thank you for highlighting it. I'm very appreciative.
Because the Holy Spirit is a person, is a person of the Holy Trinity. So he indwells us, not it. When I speak of Ishak's spirit, it indwells me. But the Holy Spirit, he indwells us. So we please, it's one of my pet peeves, so please remember that. When we refer to the Holy Spirit in terms of pronouns, it's the proper noun, who and he. Okay, any other? Sorry, when I gave the bad impression, if you will, that I was leaving, it was not because I was impatient. It was because I said, if there's only two or three of us, maybe we can do it another time when there are more people, but not because I was, apologies on my part, actually, yeah. Would someone like to pray to conclude?
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to gather in your name today. We thank you, Lord, for these words of wisdom that you taught us through your Holy Spirit. We ask you, Lord, to help us to invite the Holy Spirit in our life and to be guided and to be confirmed in the Holy Spirit of God, so we can live a life filled with the Holy Spirit and bring forth these fruits, so that your light, Lord, shall show forth before the whole world. We thank you, Lord, for everything. We thank you for the communion, we thank you for the health, we thank you for the opportunity of having the great Lent to repent. Help us, Lord, and remember everybody who is in need, those who are here and those who are absent. Through the intercession of the Holy Theotokos, St. Mary, and all the choir of your saints, hear us when we say thankfully, Our Father who art in heaven,